fascinating case of a grandfather who was zochet to have a grandson, and he decided he was going to give a family becher, a family kiddush cup. He was going to give it to his grandson, and he was going to have the boy's name engraved on the cup. The boy's name was Yosef. So he went to the Judaica store and he asked the person to please engrave the name Yosef onto the coast. The problem is that the worker in the store that day was a Sephardi man, and it was the yard site of the Ben Ish Chai, whose name was Yosef Chaim. So the worker was so focused on the name Yosef Chaim that when he took out the becher to carve the name Yosef on it, accidentally he carved the name Yosef Chaim. When the grandfather came to pick up the kos, so we saw that the name Yosef Chaim was there instead of Yosef. He pointed out the error to the worker. And now they had a shaila, what's going to be in terms of payment? Certainly he thought he doesn't have to pay the worker for carving the wrong name and engraving the wrong name onto the kos. But the question is, does the worker owe anything, damage payments, to the grandfather for damaging the cup? That was the first question. But the story doesn't end there. Because a few days later, the grandfather unfortunately got a phone call that his new grandson was sick. And they went to a family rav, and the rav said, because of his illness, it's important to add a name to the child. Add the name Chaim to the child in order for his chus. Now, the coast with the name Yosef Chaim had the correct name on the coast. And now the question was, if originally there were certain chiyuvim from the worker towards the owner, now perhaps the owner of the kos, the grandfather, was actually chayav to pay for the work done on the kos because the name was correct. That was the question that was posed. So I'd like to very quickly just address both issues, the initial shaila and then the follow-up shaila. Whenever you have a worker who is a poel, and we have different types of poel, and people who are paid by the hour, people who are paid by the job, a sachir, a kablon. So his relationship towards the object that he's working on is that of a shomer sachar, because he's being paid for his work, and therefore we look at his relationship to the object that he is a paid watchman. And therefore, if there is a geneva, if there is an aveda to the object, he's chayef to pay. If he is posheya, if he's negligent and he damages the object, he has to pay for the object. In this situation, though, it's not exactly clear that there was damage done to the object. Meaning, in terms of serving as a kiddush cup, it is still a 100% functioning kiddush cup. It happens to be that the name on the cup is not the right cup for this person. But he hasn't damaged the cup as a kiddush cup. And therefore, it's not clear that as a geneva or an aveda, or even as a pshia of damage, that he's damaged the cup. What this seems to be is a situation where the sachir, the worker, was shina midaito shel balabayis. The Gemara in Bava Kamma talks about someone who gives wool that is undyed. He gives it to a worker in order to dye the wool for him. He asks that it should be dyed in red, but instead it's dyed in black. This is a similar situation. Why? Because he wanted it to be red. Instead it's black. But he didn't damage the wool. The wool is still able to function as wool. It's just not what the balabayas originally wanted. The Gemara there says that you do the following computation. You look at the increase of value that occurred to the wool. Let's say by dyeing it black, it now had an increase of $50 in value. The work to do that would have cost the balabayas, let's say, $25. He would have paid $25 to get the wool dyed. By getting it dyed black, it went up in value to $50. There's one other price here, and that is the amount of money that the worker spent, his expenses in order to dye it. Let's say the dye cost him $5. So we have $5 of investment by the worker. We have what would have been a $25 fee for the work if he would have done it in red. And then the $50 is the increase in value that the wool went up in value because of the dyeing, even though it was dyed in black instead of red. So the Gemara says that you certainly don't have to pay for the work because you hired him to dye in red, not in black. But in terms of the increase in value, so you pay the lesser of the two. Whether the value increase was $50
and the expense to do that was $5, so then you have to pay him back for his expenses. You pay $5. So in that situation, you wouldn't pay for the work, but you would at least pay the $5 that the dyer spent in order to increase the value of your wool now to $50. If, though, it's the opposite, if the increase was only $5 and the expense was $50, you pay the lesser value, which means you pay the $5 of increase in value. So you either pay the increase in value or you pay the expense, whichever is less. But you certainly don't pay for the work. And therefore, in this situation with the kos, the grandfather certainly doesn't have to pay for the work. And the only question is there anything else he has to pay? Seemingly, for the time he doesn't have to pay, we said, there's no increase in value for the fact that there's now a name on the cup. Certainly not the right name. As a functioning cup, it seems to be the same functioning cup, and therefore, the balabayas of the cup, the grandfather would pay nothing for the work, and the worker would not receive any payment for the work that he did. That's seemingly the answer to the question, and therefore the grandfather didn't pay anything, and he got a cup that now says Yosef Chaim. It's a functioning cup, but it doesn't have the right name. That's the unfortunate situation of Shina Midas Balabayas, where the balabayas doesn't get what he wanted. He got red, black dye instead of red, but there was no actual damage done to the cup. There is a shaila, if you could fix it, if you have to fix it, but that's not for our issue right now. The Gemara tells us, though, that whole din is only a din derabanan. Meaning, midio raisa, the worker is actually a ganav. Why is he actually a ganav? Because he did work on the cup that wasn't authorized. It's not his cup. He was given the cup to engrave a specific name, and he engraved a different name. He was given the wool to dye it red, and instead he dyed it black. So the Gemara says that midioraisa, he's a ganav, and he has to pay back for it. But since he's a worker, and we want to encourage people to go into professions and to work, we don't want them to have to worry that if they make a mistake, they're going to have to pay the full value. So that's why the din derabanan is that in this situation, there wouldn't be any cost to, there wouldn't be any chiyuv for the worker. So midioraisa, he would be chayiv, but midrabanan, we're makil on him, and we don't make him pay anything. What about the second half of the shaila, and we'll conclude with this? What about the fact that a week later, the cup now had the right name? So the pashta says that that's good luck for the worker, for the owner of the cup, but he doesn't need to pay for that. We look at the time that the work was done, whether there's a chayiv. There's a precedent for this. The post can bring a case of a man who went into somebody's store. The person sold wine vats. And he came into the store with a bat. He was angry at the owner. And he smashed one of the vats of wine and caused all the wine to be lost. And it was a $100 loss for the owner of the store. However, 5 minutes later, a tax collector from the government walked in and was looking for illegal vats of wine that had not been registered with the government. And sure enough, this vat of wine had not been registered. The fine for having an unregistered vat of wine was $1,000. So now, because he came in and broke the barrel of wine, which was an $100 loss for the owner, he saved the owner a $1,000 fine, because now the tax collector didn't find any vats of wine that weren't registered. So the shaila was, does he have to pay for the $100 of damage that he did? He saved him $900. And the answer is that, of course, he has to pay. Because B'shas Maisa, when he broke the barrel, he caused a $100 loss. The fact that an external event happened afterwards that now made it that this retroactively it wasn't a loss, we don't make those types of computations when it comes to Nezikin. And therefore, just like B'shas Maisa in our case, he didn't have to pay the worker for what he did. And, a week later, it now was the right name. That's a good coincidence for the, it's an unfortunate situation because his grandson was sick. But in terms of the coast, it was a good deal it worked out well for the grandfather. So that's similar to the case of the breaking of the wine, where the chiyuv is not, the chiyuv is there because he broke the wine, b'shas maisa, and we don't compute what happened later.